الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله. أما بعد, all praises due to Allah, and we ask Allah to exalt the mention, grant peace and send His blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, his companions and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the Day of Judgment. Continuing with شرح العقيدة الواسطية أو شرح العقيدة الواسطية لشيخ الإسلام بن تيمية رحمة الله عليه, the شرح of our beloved Sheikh Muhammad bin Salih Al-Uthaymeen, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower him with his mercy. Pretty much most of the books that are being taught in this day and time were the شرح of Sheikh bin Uthaymeen رحمه الله. A lot of effort he exerted for the Ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him abundantly. He was upon the right path, we believe so, and we do not purify him on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طيب. So we dealt with the attributes of what?
Anger.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes angry. What else?
Revenge. Because of anger.
Good. Okay, so these were the last two attributes that we dealt with. And we said we are dealing with them because we do have Muslims who deny them. Particularly, they will be known as the Asha'ira or the Mu'tazila. These are among the deviant sects in Islam who came after Muslim spread with other nations and people embraced Islam with their own theory of God. And then, you know, they try to understand the names and attributes of Allah and their philosophical, theological nonsense. And so then Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah had to refute them by laying down the foundations that we are studying today or this evening, how to understand the names and attributes of Allah according to the revelation of the Quran and the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the understanding of the companions and the early ulama and scholars and the early generation, the virtuous generations. طيب. الآية الرابعة, the fourth ayah in that context. ولكن كره الله بعاثهم فثبطهم. Surah التوبة, verse 46. But Allah was averse, meaning He hated, to their being sent forth, so He made them lag behind. يقول الشيخ رحمه الله, يعني بذلك المنافقين الذين لم يخرجوا مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الغزوات. What is intended by this particular ayah, this ayah is speaking of the hypocrites who did not go out on the expeditions or on the battles with the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. لأن الله تعالى كرهم بعاثهم. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was averse to their being sent forth. He did not like them going out with the Muslims. Why? لأن عملهم غير خالص له. Their deed was not sincere for Allah. They're hypocrites, obviously. وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَغْنَى الشُّرَكَاءِ عَنِ الشِّرْكِ. And Allah is the most self-sufficient of having any associates or partners. Meaning any, as it comes in the Hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنَا أَغْنَى الشُّرَكَاءِ عَنِ الشِّرْكِ فَمَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا أَشْرَكَ بِهِ مَعْيَ غَيْرِ تَرَكْتُهُ وَشِرْكَهُ. In the Hadith Sahih, Hadith Qudsi, the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am the most self-sufficient of having any partners or associates. Whoever does an act of worship thereof, seeking my will, seeking my pleasure and that of someone else, then I will abandon him and that act of worship. That act of worship will not be accepted if you do it for the sake of Allah and for the sake of someone else. It should be only for the sake of Allah, period. Wallah al-musta'an. I hope that we all have this particular quality, otherwise we're in trouble. Big time trouble. نعم. والله تعالى أغنى الشركاء عن الشرك ولأنهم إذا خرجوا كانوا كما قال الله تعالى لو خرجوا فيكم ما زادوكم إلا خبالا ولا أوضعوا خلالكم يبغونكم الفتنة. And furthermore, because if they did go out, had they went out with the Muslims, the hypocrites, then it would be as Allah described them in the next ayah in Surah At-Tawbah. Allah says, had they marched out with you, they would have added to you nothing except disorder. Okay? And they would have they would have turned about in your midst, spreading corruption and sowing sedition among you. Yani, they will only try to cause fitna. If they did go out, they will cause corruption, talk too much, the enemies are too big, their weaponry is greater than ours, it's too hot, as we've heard in various ayat in the Quran, Allah describing the excuses that they used to give the Messenger of Allah. They always had an excuse. Buyutuna awra, our homes are unprotected, so we cannot go out with you, Messenger of Allah, we have to remain behind and protect our homes. And all these are lies at the end of the day. So they would have went out with the Muslims and caused fitna among the serious, sincere, determined believers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept them behind. وَإِذَا كَانُوا غَيْرَ مُخْلِصِينَ وَكَانُوا مُفْسِدِينَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى يَكْرَهُ الْفَسَادَ وَيَكْرَهُ الشِّرْكِ. So if they were unsincere to Allah and they were evildoers, or they were corrupt or spreading corruption, then verily Allah the Exalted, the Majestic, He hates fasad, corruption, and He hates shirk. فَكَرِيَ اللَّهُمْ بِعَاذَهُمْ فَثَبَّطَهُمْ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala averse that they will go out, that they be sent forth, so He made them lag behind, so they stayed behind. طيب يعني جعل هممهم فاترة عن الخروج للجهاد, meaning Allah made their will, the will to go out for jihad, weak. They didn't have enough strength and determination, as it was the case with the Sahaba, the sincere Sahaba, who were looking forward to jihad. Either, first and foremost, for Allah's word to be supreme and for the religion of Islam to be victorious over other religions. Furthermore, they wanted to die for the sake of Allah, because they knew from the ayat and the narrations that the most lofty status one may get after, not if he's not a prophet and they're not prophets, which is the Siddiqiyya, that not everybody can attain, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and very limited few, then the best status afterwards is as shuhada, the martyrs. And according to the hadith, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah, according to the hadith of the Prophet sallam, all of the sins of the shaheed are forgiven upon death, except what?
A debt.
Because what? Because it involves the rights of people. See, the rights of Allah, the sins against Allah, they go away, right? Allah forgives them. But when it comes to the right of the creation, these will remain until the day of judgment. The person will come and ask you, say, give me my right. You spoke about me, you were backbiting. Then on the day of judgment, as it comes in a hadith, that the man will come with plenty of good deeds, plenty of fasting, plenty of praying. But the Prophet ﷺ said, and he would come on the day of judgment, he had cursed this person and spilled the blood of that person and verbally abused that person and hit that person. And so on the day of judgment, each one of them will take his right back from him, and they will take from his good deeds until he does not have any good deeds anymore. What do you think will happen? Their bad deeds will be taken from them and placed on him, and he'll be thrown in the hellfire, walayadu billah. So that tells you that يعني, it's good to pray and to do the things that Allah commanded, but there are things that we must avoid as well, dealing with the rights of the people. So the dayn is to be, dayn is the slang, dayn is more grammatically correct, dayn, which is the debt that you owe. That's why يعني, the scholars often recommend, don't get involved in debt unless you really have to. So if you have a car that is moving and the shaitan keeps telling you that you should drive a Lexus, even if you're going to be in debt for the company, paying them payments for Allah who knows how many years, 4 or 5 years, trying to make payments off for the car, and you don't need the car. If you die, akhi, in that state, then you owe them money. And you will keep your family members in burdened over trying to sell the car and get the money and pay them back. Sometimes it's simple, and very often it's very complicated. And that debt remains. So you don't need that. Either you have enough money to buy a car cash, or you don't. So what I'm saying is not that it's not lawful to owe people money or to have debt. This is fine. But avoid that to the best of your ability. The righteous person says is they would not get involved in debt unless they had needs. Not in order to enhance one's lifestyle, alaykum salam, not because they wanted to live a more lavish life, rather because they were in need, and so borrowing money was necessary for survival. not for any other luxurious things. So we must have understand this in the right context, so we will not get too excited in this dunya, knowing that you're going to leave. You will drive this Lexus for some years, but you may crash it, and then you know, you can't have insurance, insurance is haram. Okay, you may crash the car, forget about all the money you spent, and you will die eventually and leave it behind. So it's not worth it if your car is moving. Because people, you know, get excited, and you see them get involved in this thing, and they wind up doing silly things, trying to make these payments. They have to pay for the house, and they have to pay for the car, and pay for the vacuum cleaner, and they have to pay for, I don't know what else. People, you know, get in installments, and they wind up being in debt deep, that they almost never get out of all their lives. So this is a scam that is being done by the West, actually, to try to keep people in need. And it's like beggars, they're begging them always for things. They give them money in up front, and then they try to enslave you until the rest of your life, so you can pay them back. So we Muslims avoid all that, inshallah, to the best of our ability. If the shaheed, all of his sins are forgiven at the time of death, except debt, that shows you the importance of debt. And I'm sure you know the other hadith, what one of the Sahaba had passed away, and the Prophet ﷺ came to perform the funeral prayer. He asked, "Hal ala sahibikum min dain? Does your companion have any debt?" So they said, "Yes, he have, O Messenger of Allah." He said, "Sallu ala sahibikum. You pray over him. I will not pray over him." So one of the Sahaba said, "His debt is on me, O Messenger of Allah. I will pay it." They used to love each other for the sake of Allah. So the Prophet ﷺ said, "Okay." The man took up the responsibility. He prayed the janazah. Tayyib. He went, khalas. Next time around he saw him. He said, "Did you pay the debt on behalf of your brother?" He said, not yet, O Messenger of Allah. He let him go. The next time around he saw him, he said, "Did you pay the debt for your brother?" He said, "I did." He said, "Now his skin became cool." Now. Meaning that whole time, he was being held, for that debt he owed, until the brother paid the money for the people. It's a sahabi in the grave. He said, "Now baridat jildatuhu wa qama qala sallam." Now his skin became cool, meaning he was in the danger zone. So that's what I'm saying. The debt is not a joke. Don't leave this world unless you've paid. If Allah has saved you from owing people any money, stay like that. Okay, and live according to your money. Spend accordingly, so you will not have to be in that position one day. If Allah did decree that you are in debt right now, then there's a particular dua that you may say, which I do not recall right now, but you could refer to the fortress, Muslim fortress. There's a special dua that deals with removing debt from you. It's a hadith about a man who was sitting in the masjid. Prophet ﷺ told him, "What's worrying you?" He said, "I owe people money." He said, "Make this particular dua. اللهم اكفني بحلالك عن حرامك واغنني بفضلك عن من سواك." Maybe it's that one. Allahu a'lam. Nonetheless, refer back to that one and beg Allah in your dua all the time to get you out of this situation, so you no longer be in debt, inshallah, and so you could die with a peace of mind. طيب. So they wanted, then the Sahaba, they wanted to die for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something honorable. You know, the shuhada have a virtuous status with Allah. Their souls are alive. Their souls are, as Prophet ﷺ said, in birds that they fly in the heaven, and they have almost like a cage or a lamp that is dangling from the throne, the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so these birds go eat from the fruits of Jannah, drink from the rivers of Jannah, and then they return to that particular lamp of theirs that is hanging from the throne. This is where the souls of the shuhada are from the time that they die. That's a particular status, whereas everybody else is in a grave. They go to Jannah ala tul, and then what is waiting for them is even more on the day of judgment after everybody enters Jannah. So the shaheed is not a joke for someone to die for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Sahaba understood that, but the hypocrites didn't. They loved the dunya so much that they were not willing to take that particular sacrifice, which is sacrificing one's life. So they remained, you know, behind, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept them behind because Allah disliked them going because of their lack of sincerity. طيب. وقيل اقعدوا مع القاعدين. And it was said, remain with those who will remain. قعد, قعود, which is sitting down. يعني sit down, just remain, don't go out. قيل يحتمل أن الله قال ذلك كونا. It is possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that particular statement universally, meaning it was a universal statement where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that word. it was said اقعدوا مع القاعدين. ويحتمل أن بعضهم يقول لبعض اقعد مع القاعدين. And what's possible, the ayah, the meaning of the ayah, interpretation is that they, the hypocrites, were telling each other, come on man, let remain behind with those who remain behind. ففلان لم يخرج, such and such person didn't go out. وفلان لم يخرج, and this other guy also didn't go out for jihad. ممن عذرهم الله عز وجل, from those who Allah excused, right? Like who? عليكم السلام. Who are the ones that are excused? The ill, the sick, really, it's the blind, al-a'raj, the handicapped, the one who cannot see, the ones who have a legitimate physical disability, you know, or others, that the Prophet ﷺ may give him excuse. But the asl is that the ones who were not able to go jihad, otherwise everybody else is expected to go, unless there's indications that it's otherwise. طيب. Oh, mashallah, I always go ahead of myself. كالمريض والأعمى والأعرج, like the ill and the blind and the أعرج, the one that is handicapped, one leg. I forgot the technical name. طيب. ويقولون إذا قدم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اعتذرنا إليه واستغفر لنا وكفانا. And what was their attitude, these hypocrites? They say, look, when the Messenger of Allah will return after jihad, we will go and apologize to him. You know, and they knew now. Why did they know this? Why did they think that this is possible? Who could tell me? Because they knew he was pardoning the people. Otherwise, if he was rough, you're not going to say, when he come back, would you say, I'm sorry? Because usually a person who doesn't play around, he's not going to accept you sorry. He's going to hold you accountable for that. But they knew from him, alayhi salatu salam, that he would pardon. That was his character. So the munafiqeen, they banked on this one. Said, okay, we will just apologize. He will make istighfar for us. Not only that, he will also make istighfar and khalas will be sufficed. This is their attitude based on knowing the character of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضَّاً غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. Had you been rough and hard-hearted, then they would have scattered away from you. The people would run away from you if you're tough all the time. Of course, لِكُلِّ مَقَامٍ مَقَال. For every situation, there's a particular way of handling it. So not all the time you could be nice. Because sometimes if you're nice, people will ride on your back. And they'll think that, you know, everything goes. So there are times where you need to be serious, such as khutbat al-jum'ah. A khatib cannot stand on the minbar and whisper to the brothers, or try to be, wallah, soft-spoken. Because that is not the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in that particular situation, the sunnah is that you scream, and you get mad, and you get angry. Just as the sahaba described him. They said when he would deliver khutbah, his eyes will become red. Okay? And he will become angry. And his voice will become loud, as if he's a general in the army, screaming at his soldiers, the enemy may come upon you in the morning. The enemy may come upon you in the evening. Yani, the situation does not require tenderness. Unlike a lecture, perhaps, or one-on-one da'wah, when you speak to someone, you're not going to be screaming at them, of course, because they're going to just run away from you. But during khutbah al-jum'ah, watch when the khatib is soft-spoken. Look around. This guy is sleeping. This guy is playing with his toes. The other one is checking out his phone. People just want him to get off the minbar. Just finish already. 45 minutes, 1 hour khutbah, all this is against the sunnah. People can't take it, akhi. You cannot take a khutbah for a whole hour. That's not the sunnah of Rasulullah. He said from the fiqh of the khatib is that he shortens his khutbah and he elongates his prayer. The salah will be long. Where, you know, you recite what is usually recited, al-a'la and al-ghashiyah, and you recite properly, you give the ruku', it's right, the sujood is right, and so on and so forth. But nowadays it's the other way around. 1 hour khutbah and the salah is yalla ala tul. This is what is the consequence of that? That the people don't get what they deserve. Whenever you go against the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, you're about to fail. And whenever you follow it, whoever you are, you will be successful. So this is not restricted to a particular individual versus others. Anyone who follows the footsteps, and this is known in the books of fiqh and in the books of the etiquettes of Jumu'ah, then the khutbah will be successful. Not necessarily the khatib, but the khutbah itself. Because it's following the guidelines that were laid down by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So anyways, being kind is the asl, and at times you may need to be a little stern. It may be a little rough. Sometimes if the brothers are too, you know, taking things too easy, you gotta wake them up. a little bit, you know, according to need. Hey, sometimes, you know, people get mad afterwards, say, man, it's too much. ويمكن أن نجمع بين القولين لأنه إذا قيل لهم ذلك وقعدوا فهم ما قعدوا إلا بقول الله عز وجل. The Sheikh said we can actually bring a relation between both. The fact that Allah said remain behind with those who remain behind, or the fact that they said that to one another. He said we could bring harmony between both statements because they did remain behind and they would have not remained behind unless Allah had told them to do so. So at the end of the day, the meaning is one and the same. طيب. وفي هذه الآية إثبات أن الله عز وجل يكره وهذا أيضا ثابت في الكتاب والسنة. So in this ayah, what do we learn? What quality?
Hate.
Hate. That Allah سبحانه وتعالى hates a particular thing. يكره. And this is why you often hear the word makruh. Say this is makruh, makruh, meaning it is hated by the Sharia, not necessarily by Allah. Because if it was hated by Allah, it would be haram. Hey, and it's hated, and when you do something that is makruh, you do not gain any sin. If it was hated by Allah in the haram fashion, then you will be sinful. So don't misunderstand that makruh meaning Allah hates it. Meaning Islamically it is disliked to be doing that particular thing. But when Allah hates something, that means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates something. And that's a whole other discussion. طيب. قال الله تعالى وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهُ إِلَى قَوْلِهِ كُلُّ ذَلِكَ كَانَ سَيُّؤُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ مَكْرُوهًا. The Shaykh now is saying, actually the quality of hate, Allah hating, is something that is established in the Quran and the Sunnah. And he was giving you some textual evidences as well. Everybody knows Surah Al-Isra, beginning with, and your Lord ordained that you shall worship none but Him, and that you are dutiful to your parents. Then Allah mentioned a number of qualities until He said, كُلُّ ذَلِكَ كَانَ سَيُّؤُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ مَكْرُوهًا. All the bad aspects of these are hateful to your Lord. You know, being undutiful to your parents, holding, not spending enough, and the other qualities that were mentioned, I'm not going to enumerate them because they're too long and the Shaykh did not mention them. This is Surah Al-Isra, verses 23 till 38. A number of things were mentioned. Don't do that. وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. Do not walk upon earth with insolence, with boastfulness, with pridefulness. Many qualities that Allah prohibited us from having, and then Allah says all of that, all of these aspects were hated by your Lord. So then we know from the Quran that Allah hates particular things. وكما في هذه الآية التي ذكرها المؤلف رحمه الله, and in the same the ayah that the author mentioned right now, ولكن كره اللهم بعثهم فثبتهم. Verily Allah averse or hated to them being brought forth or sent forth, so He made them stay behind. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله كره لكم قيل وقال. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, verily Allah hates for you that you are saying he said and they said, you know, he said and she said and so on and so forth. يعني delivering speech or conversation, people's conversation over gossiping or something of this nature. What was, I found an interesting translation for namima, other than gossip. No, there's another word, bearing something. It's a very, I will look it up inshallah. It's a more accurate actually translation. Perhaps we'll share it in the future inshallah. طيب. على كل حال. No. Backbiting is ghiba. Gossiping or namima, which is, you know, spreading information, you know about other people. Other than No. There's a special bearing something, but I don't remember the second part. Rumor is isha'at. It's another word. Nah. Shai'at or there's the amma. The street language is إشاعات, and perhaps it's شائعات, which is, you know, rumors. نعم. المهم فالكراهة ثابتة بالكتاب والسنة أن الله تعالى يكره. So anyways, Allah hating something, the quality of hating is something that is established in the Quran and the Sunnah. وكراهة الله سبحانه وتعالى لشيء تكون للعمل. Now Allah hating something can be in concerning the actual deed itself. كما في الآية, as in this ayah, that Allah hated their going out, them being sent forth, Allah hated that action. So here the hating is for the actual deed, which is being sent forth. وكما في قوله كل ذلك كان سيئه عند ربك مكروها, and like the ayah we quote in Surah Al-Isra, verily all those aspects to your Lord were hated to your Lord. All these bad aspects were hated to your Lord. وَيَتَكُونُ أَيْضًا لِلْعَامِلِ, and sometimes the hatred is for the doer himself. And this is where each and every one of us must be very, very careful. كما جاء في الحديث إن الله تعالى إذا أبغض عبدا نادى جبريل فقال إني أبغض فلانا فأبغضه. If Allah hates one of us, then it doesn't stop there. Allah calls on to Jibreel to tell Jibreel that he hates you. Not you, inshallah, not you. But he hates that individual. And then Jibreel calls to the inhabitants of the heavens that Allah hates this person, so hate him. So then the angels will hate him as well. And a Muslim is not disqualified from this, not excluded. This is also for the Muslim and the non-Muslim. Of course, all the non-Muslims, they're automatically included in that. All of them are hated by Allah. But this is for the Muslim as well. And then, not only that, then hatred will be put for him on earth, where everybody hates him. And just look at the classical example of the people of Bid'ah, the innovators. All of the people who follow the Sunnah, all of the people... Oh, this way? All of the people who follow the Sunnah hate the people of Bid'ah. You hate them from the bottom of your heart, even if you never met him. The guy was 500 years back, 700 years ago, and even before that. The fact that they were innovators or they were introducing something to the deen of Allah, you automatically have a feeling of hatred towards these particular individuals. And similarly towards the sinners. When you see a sinner, then you hate him according to his sin. And this is for the sake of Allah. Be careful. There's nothing wrong with hating someone for disobeying Allah. Because you are supposed to, because he's disobeying Allah. But do not let that go to extremes where you wind up oppressing your brother because of some violations that he may be committing. So then you hate according to the violations. You don't transgress in that fashion. So some people then you hate for the sake of Allah. Some people obviously you love for the sake of Allah. The fact that the good people hate the bad person is a sign that Allah hates him. Because Allah hated him, he called unto Jibreel. Jibreel called unto the angels, and the angels hated him. Then Allah put hatred for him on earth. So anyways, we must make sure that we don't have the qualities which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hate. What are among the most common one among the Muslims today is arrogance. And what is arrogance? Looking nice? Huh? If you're walking around with a nice thobe and you have some nice pair of shoes and whatever, is that arrogance?
No.
It could be. It could be if you use that to be better than people. But not necessarily. What is arrogance as defined by the Messenger of Allah? Who knows the hadith? When he said the Prophet ﷺ, لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال حبة من كبر. أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. He will not enter Jannah. The one who has a grain, an equivalence of grain of arrogance. So one of the Sahaba said, oh Messenger of Allah, one of us would like to have a nice outfit, a nice pair of shoes. He said, "Inna Allah," this is not arrogance, "Inna Allah jameelun yuhibbul jamal." Allah is beautiful, he loves beauty. What did he say arrogance was?
Not accepting the thing that is true.
Not accepting the truth and
walking on the
earth. Belittling people. Hey, that's what it is.
Belittling people.
So usually it's happened in the context where these people have these qualities with each other. Usually you give him nasiha, he's older than you, okay, you give him, you're younger than him, whatever the situation is, you give him nasiha, the first thing he will do is he will reject the truth. He will not take it, and then he will belittle you. Who are you? I've heard the funniest things in the world. My father was a sheikh. Look, ya Habibi, what does your father have to do with you? Your father was a sheikh and you're a lousy guy. What does that mean? Because your father's a sheikh, that means that you're rightly guided? Well, this is nonsense, right? I don't want to tell you, akhi, I have the Quran memorized. And so on and so forth. See, I'm giving you a hadith, I'm giving you nasiha, I'm giving you something authentic. If you have another opinion, valid, then discuss it with me. Say, Akhi, Jazakallah khairan, but I don't follow this opinion. That's fine. You may see someone sitting down before Azhar of Maghrib. And you come and say, Akhi, if you come in the masjid, you should not sit down. He may tell you, but Akhi, I follow the opinion that this is time of prohibition, even with Tahiyyat al-Masjid. So you say, Barakallah feek. This is a valid opinion according to the ulama, and there's nothing wrong with that. This is not considered to be rejecting the truth, because he's obeying Allah in his mind by doing that. But the problem is when a person doesn't know the other opinion and just says, "Yani, leave me alone. I don't want to pray. I want to sit down. You know, don't tell me what to do." Something along these lines. This is arrogance. So then, or someone may have one of the two qualities and not necessarily both. Whenever the truth is presented to them, they don't act upon it. They don't implement it. They don't take it. They don't accept it. For whatever reason, then we're following into the same trap. And so this person, according to the hadith, may never enter Jannah. Unless a person, of course, changes ways and repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is something that we all need to do. Change our ways and be obedient. When a brother gives you advice, you should be happy that Allah had sent someone through His wisdom and His decree to give you advice. Yani Allah wants you to learn. This is how you're supposed to think. Allah could have left you ignorant, but Allah gave someone who maybe you've never met before to come give you advice. This is ni'mah from Allah. So when you reject it, you'll be asked about on the Day of Judgment. Didn't one of my servants come to you and tell you about ABCD? What did you do concerning that? You see what I'm saying? Then there will be regret on the Day of Judgment. It will not benefit anyone on that day. So I hope these are understood in the right context, inshallah. So we don't want to attain the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or His hatred, because then your life is basically doomed. Let's just put it that way. And inshallah, none of us over here is of that quality, bi'idhnillah azza wa jal. Al-ayatul khamisa. So this was the fourth ayah. The fifth ayah, قَوْلُهُ كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. What surah is this in? Surah As-Saff. Oh, you have it in your book, man. Anybody else? Surah As-Saff, طيب, verse 3. You should, the surah is quite small actually. It's a page and a half perhaps. Everybody can memorize it, inshallah. It's an interesting surah. كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Most hateful it is with Allah that you say that which you do not do. That you say that which you do not do. نَصَّ اللَّهِ الْعَافِيَةِ. كبر بمعنى, this is Surah As-Saff verse 3. كبر بمعنى عظما, يعني great, greatly. It's to indicate from عظيم, the greatness. كبر مقتا عند الله. And the Shaykh رحمه الله will deal with the مقتا. He will deal with the grammar, which we will not deal with. Which is مقت basically is even stronger than hating. مقت is يعني being detestful. Something detestful to you. يعني hated with the passion. Okay, hated with extremism, much more than the average is hatred or dislike. نعم وفاعل كب بعد أن حول فاعل وما دخل في قولي أن تقول ما تفعل. طيب وهذه الآية تعليل للآية التي قبلها وبيان لعاقبتها. The Shaykh رحمه الله said, this ayah is actually an explanation, a reason for the ayah that was mentioned before it, and a consequence for, and what will result of that violation, which is the beginning of the ayah. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لما تقولون ما لا تفعلون كبر مقتا عند الله أن تقولوا ما لا تفعلون. What was the first ayah of this, the second ayah of the surah? Oh, you will believe, why do you say that which you do not do? This is equal to, or similar to the statement of Allah in Surah Al-Baqarah, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Speaking of the Jews. So whoever does that is resembling the Jews. Do you command the people to do righteousness and you forget about yourselves? While you recite in the book, do you not understand? Okay, so then that's one ayah. This ayah is, all you who believe, Allah is addressing the believers. Why do you say that which you do not do? It is most hated with Allah that you say that which you do not do. فإن هذا من أكبر الأمور أن يقول الإنسان ما لا يفعل. The Shaykh said this is from the most grave of things, is that the person says that which he does not do. وجه ذلك أن يقال. How do we explain that? إذا كنت تقول شيء ولا تفعله فأنت بين أمرين. If you say the thing and you do not do it yourself, you're in one of two conditions. طيب. إما كاذب فيما تقول. Either you're a liar, you're saying something that you don't do, so you must be lying. ولكنك تخوف الناس, but you do scare the people. فتقول لهم شيء وليس بحقيقة. So you say something that is not truthful. You just lie to the people while you yourself don't even believe that. وإما أنك مستكبر عما تقول, or you are arrogant over the very thing that you're saying. تأمر الناس به ولا تفعله. You command the people and you don't do it yourself. وتنهى الناس عنه وتفعله. Then you prohibit the people from doing the thing and then you do it yourself. Now in the hadith of Prophet ﷺ, we learn that person will be brought on the day of judgment and he will be going around like a donkey goes around the whatever it's called. Anyways, it's like the well. It's similar to a well. Something that they used to pump water, but something else. Anyways, he will be brought on the day of judgment.
It's a field, right?
Make the mill. Barakallah, exactly. That's the one. Ahsan. So he will be actually, and he will be dragging his intestines in Jahannam. And so the people will come to him and say, Ya Fulan, what's the matter with you? You, weren't you the one who used to tell us to do good and prohibit us from doing wrong? He says, yes, I used to tell you to do the good and I wouldn't do it, and I used to prohibit you from the evil and I used to do it myself. So then this will be their reward on the day of judgment. That shows you the graveness of saying something and not doing it. This does not mean that you don't forbid the evil anymore because you think that you are evil. People go to extreme. If you see something wrong, you still prohibit it. This is dealing with someone who's negligent, not someone who's unable. For example, you work the graveyard shift. Okay, graveyard shift meaning the night. You don't sleep at night. So you cannot do qiyam. Okay? Does that mean that you don't advise people to do qiyam? No. In this case you're not saying that which you don't do. You see? Or you may be striving and you want to remind the people. If you have the intention to get up and you fall asleep, that's a whole other story. But the idea is about the people who say, Akhi, you should keep your pants above your ankles. And then you see him walking away with his pants dragging on the ground. Says, Subhanallah. And he's able to do it. So, you know, he tells you what you're supposed to do and he doesn't do it himself. That's an example. You can think of other examples as well. Na'am. وَفِي الْآيَةِ مِنَ الصِّفَاتِ. But what attribute do we learn from this particular ayah? كبر مقتا عند الله أن تقولوا ما لا تفعلون. Extreme hatred, not the average hatred. And it may be at different levels. It varies. You know, the hatred, some will be hated more than others. ومن الناحية المسلكية, practically, what is the practical benefit that me and you attain from this?
We should not get into Allah's hatred.
Aywa, this is general, but more specific with the ayah.
Practice what you preach.
Warning the person from saying that which he does not do. So with that we will conclude, inshallah, because the next time around, next week, bi-idhnillah, we'll be dealing with very interesting quality of Allah. Ayat aw sifatul maji, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming. المجيء from يجيء جاء وجاء ربك والملك صفا صفا. We have many ayat in the Quran. How to understand this in the light or in the light of the Quran and the Sunnah according to Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, not according to the anthropomorphic people who say that Allah comes like a human being so they resemble Allah to His creation, and not like the Mu'attila, those who deny it. They say you cannot say that Allah comes because you're making Allah like His creation, but Allah said that in the Quran. So we will see how to travel on the middle path without deviating onto either side. And these are, you know, those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided. So we will postpone that to next week because it's very sensitive. And I don't want us to get, you know, thoughts confused. Plus if you have any questions, we will probably want to deal with them right now. So with that, we conclude this dars. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu sallama ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.